Our prayer today is that you will be encouraged by the message and by the worship, that you and I and all of us will learn something from God's Word, and that also that we all would be given a thirst to know Him all the more. We are here today in reality because He is risen, and He is risen indeed. Amen. Our sermon text for this Easter morning is going to be taken from probably an interesting place for an Easter message. But we want to ask the question, what in reality can Christ and has Christ done for us? See, it's very interesting to deal with the Easter story every Easter when we come to it. But what does it mean for us, and what in reality can it do in our behalf? And I think that Easter speaks of victory and restoration. So in honor of that, I pray that God will bless us in this word, that by the power of His Spirit He will speak. And we're going to read a very interesting part of Scripture from Luke chapter 8. We're going to read verses 26 through 39. If you are willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 26, continuing in Jesus' name. And they arrived at the country of Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went into the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but actually in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and he fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What do I have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times he had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into a lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of the devils were departed, and sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also, which saw it, told them what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes around about besought him to depart, for they were taken with great fear, and went into a ship, and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. And Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done to thee." And he went his way, and he published throughout all the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. We ask by the power of your Spirit that you would speak and men and flesh would be silent. We ask this for sole purpose, that another ear would hear, that we would be encouraged and strengthened. Sanctify us in your truth, because we know, Father, without a doubt, your word is truth. Amen. Brother Mark read for us a very awesome part of Scripture, which I think is interesting. When he read from the Gospel of Mark chapter 16, and he read about Mary and Mary going to the tomb, it leaves off in this place. Verse 8 says, "And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing. They said nothing to anyone. Why? Because they were afraid. We live in a society where oftentimes we are afraid. We're afraid of what's happening in the world. We're afraid of what's happening even in our own communities at times. And we're afraid quite often what other people will think of us. For Mary and Mary to head back to the apostles and to speak to them and to tell them what they saw and what they heard, they believed would be foolishness. And they were afraid. And we turn at times and we can look in our own lives and we could see the miraculous things that God does for us and we could see the encouragement that God gives us. But I have to ask, even in my own life, am I sometimes afraid to share that with people? Are they going to think I'm nuts? Are they going to think that, well, he's just good for him and it may work for him, but he's really out to lunch here because things just don't happen that way. And then we look at the Easter season where we talk about this empty tomb and we deal with the aspect of Jesus Christ being victorious over hell, death, and the devil for us. And then we come to a hard place in our life. Where we say goodbye to loved ones. Where we deal with the struggles of the fall of this world. Where we see things that shouldn't be. Are we afraid? Or do we cling to the promises of God? Do we cling to the vision of that empty cross and that empty tomb? Do we cling to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the victory he has? When we look at Easter, we often make the statement, and we say, Easter is every day. But do we live it? I'm not preaching at you. Not alone. I preach to myself. That how often do we become consumed? Jesus now, he enters, basically he goes about 35 miles southeast of the Sea of Galilee. He enters into a land that actually is kind of a quandary for me. It would be a Gentile area. The first indicator that we could come up with that this would be a Gentile area is that the fact that they have swine there. Israelites would have nothing to do with swine. And it's kind of interesting because just before this, you can deal with Jesus talking about the parable of the seed and the sower. And how we don't know where it's going to take root. We don't know what exactly is going to happen, but God will give increase. And then he enters out into this area and he sows. Honestly, in my opinion, compared to the parable that he gives of the sower, probably the most rocky ground that you ever could find because it is Gentile area. But he goes. And when he goes there, now it says he stepped onto the land. He gets out of the boat and he enters onto the land and instantly there meets him this one. There's this individual, he's a man from the city, and it says that he's full of demons. He struggles. His life is a mess. He's ostracized from community. He can't even live in the cities anymore. In fact, it says these devils drove him to live in the tombs. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine someone giving up their home to go live over at Lakeside? This is serious. It gives us even more instruction here that for a long time, he couldn't even wear clothes. Mark speaks about this in the area of that now they would clothe him, but he would tear him to shreds. He was a wild individual that lived like an animal because he was possessed by demons. And you would look at an individual like this and say, what can we do? How can we help? So human beings, we can encounter people that are struggling in life, can't we? And even in the church, oftentimes we'll turn around and we'll say, well, we'll fix them. But we don't always bring them to the cross. We see this as demon possession because that's what it speaks about. But what other struggles we talk about in our lives or in people's lives? And we have a tendency to throw the Bible at them. We have a tendency in reality to try to give them rules, regulations, and say, we'll put this on you and you'll straighten up. He lived among these tombs. And when he saw Jesus, it says very plainly that he fell before him. He fell before Christ. And he cried with a loud voice. And he said, what do we, it's actually in plural in the Greek here. What do we have to do with you, Jesus, the Most High Son of God? We often turn around in a lot of our culture and we say, faith is good, faith is good, faith is good. But then we'll have others that'll come in their more stricter mind and say, yeah, well, you know, faith without works is dead, which scripture does testify. But that's taken out of context. What that really means is because you have faith, you will have works. We don't do works to get the faith. But we have a tendency even to quote within the church, I would say, we quote a statement saying, well, even the devils believe. And we leave it there. But it says in the scripture, the devil believes and trembles. And what do we see here? We see a man, demon-possessed, fall before Christ, trembling and asking, what do we have to do with you? What are you doing here? Is it time yet? What are you doing here? The answer to the question, what do we have to do with you, is nothing. Polar opposites. Light and darkness. And they understand it. They live in fear of their lives. The devils, as they say from the scripture, do believe but tremble because they know Christ is their end. There is victory in him. And this is something that we cling to as a Christian church. As the body of believers, that we have victory in and through him over all circumstances. No matter what I may think. No matter what my emotions may be. There is victory. And then he turns actually to the point of begging. He turns to the point of begging. He says, we're begging you. Don't torment us. Don't torment us. Because now we're given this insight. He had commanded the unclean spirit to leave the man. And then I want you to catch this note. This is put in here. It says, for many times he seized him, and he was kept under guard. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into deserted places. And really what this is saying is, now, okay, the humans, the people around there, the community around, they saw how wild this guy was. You can read this more clearly in Mark. They saw how wild he was. And they wanted to help. As I said earlier, we see people with struggles, we see people in these certain issues, and we think, we're going to fix them. So they took him and physically bound him with leather straps and chains, thinking they could keep him in control. How many times do we have an application in people's lives where we put an external application hoping to fix their problems, to fix their struggles? And it never works. It never works. What does Easter mean for us? It means victory. It means victory no matter what the circumstances may be. That we will always come out a winner in and through Jesus Christ. That's a comfort. How come we're not comforted by that? When we turn and we look in people's lives, and if I was to say in my own life, because I can only pick on myself, faced with a circumstance, can I come to the conclusion, no matter what may happen, I am a victor through Jesus Christ. I am more than a conqueror, as the Scripture says, through Him who has loved us. What are you facing? What are the battles in your life? Do you have that hope of victory? And if you do, praise God, enjoy it. But do we share that and live in that victory for others so that they may taste and they may, in reality, see, hear, and believe for themselves? It's not a trivial thing to sit with someone, as we even had the opportunity yesterday, my wife and I, to sit with Ed Holkinen, and I'll talk about him because he's not shy about it, who has a very aggressive case of prostate cancer. I got to say the right one. I always go really bad with the other people. Prostate cancer. And him and I are able to pray together just as he also prayed with me 9 years ago. Actually, 7 years ago when I was dealing with cancer. That no matter what happens, there is victory. Whether God heals him on this side of earth or he gets the ultimate healing in heaven. Heaven is not a cancellation prize. Consolation prize. It's not. It is the victory. There's a statement that we make, and I don't know if we always consider it. It says that you will never really live if you're afraid to die. There's moments this flesh wants to live. When I see Jakea, when I see Evelina, oh, do I want to live? But I'm not afraid to die. Because to leave this earth is to be present with the Lord. Do we fully comprehend this victory? Or are we trying to put external bounds and external binders and external helps on internal problems? They saw a man that was wild. They saw a man that they didn't fully understand, even probably was demon-possessed. They didn't know what to do with him. And they thought they could cure him. They thought they could fix him. They thought they could give morals. They could give guidelines. They could give strengthening. They could read enough scripture. He could do enough penance. He could do whatever it may be. I don't know. Put your label on there. It didn't work. He broke them things like they were nothing. And he was driven into the wild places. But he encounters Christ. He falls before him, says, what do we have to do with you? And then he begs, don't throw us into the abyss. Jesus turns and asks him, he says, what's your name? And it's interesting, he says, Legion. And really, this is about a numerical thing. There's so many. There's so many. Do you ever feel overwhelmed even in life and you say, there's so many struggles. So many issues. Even in my own personal life, there's so many struggles, so many issues, so many fears. Bring them to the cross. Because he knows. Christ knows, and he has paid with his own blood that you may live. This is the victory spoken. He says, we are a legion. A legion is the largest of the Roman army, largest groups. 3,000 plus. This is huge. So then even when we come to that, we could come to a term, well, this is so big, I don't know if God can deal with this. We said that about the Titanic, didn't we? It's so big and so strong and so great that I don't even think God could sink it. I think it went down. He begged him. And he begged and he said, command us. He says, now, that they would not. He says, please don't make us go to the abyss. This is really what it means, the deep places. It's actually, the literal translation is bottomless pit. Why don't you think about that for a moment? And I'm not going to preach a hellfire damnation sermon. That's not what we're here for. I preach Christ. I preach heaven. But there is a literal hell. And it is there to be shunned. There's no doubt about it. But I want you to think about this. The demons don't even want to go there. They don't even want to go there. So they beg them. Don't allow us to go to the abyss. But now there was a large herd of pigs that were feeding there on the hillside. So they turned and they begged and they said, allow us to enter. Enter into them. Now I kind of wonder about this. Do you ever wonder about this part of Scripture? Why did Jesus allow this? You know, here he is, the ruler of the universe. Here he is, the victorious one. Why does he allow this? You don't see this, that he has this kind of dialogue with demons. You don't see that he actually allows what they desire to happen. But I think there's a purpose here. For you and I. This is allowed for us. For a great example to show exactly what evil does. Evil cannot be controlled by human beings. It cannot do anything but destroy. That is part of evil. So Jesus, I think really, and I know I'm speaking out of turn here, so forgive me, but he's like, good teaching moment here. That's my own words, obviously. A good teaching moment. Everybody's watching. Everybody's seeing what's going on here. Let's show them. Do you think it's even amazing that he has to grant them permission? That's how powerful. And so he allows it. It says very plainly, he gives them permission. He allows it. And the demons, they came out of the man. They enter into the pig. And what happened? They instantly rush down a steep bank and jump into a lake because evil destroys. It will never stop until it's consumed everything it can. Evil never gives life. Christ gives life. God has given life. Now when you turn around and you look at this, the herdsmen, they saw it, what happened, they left. They took off instantly, went back into the city, they went back into the countryside, and they told all the people in the country and the city. And the people, they actually start coming out now to see what is actually going on. And they came to Jesus and found the man whom the demons were gone from sitting calmly. Man tried everything. Chains, binders, whatever else. And it didn't work. Christ speaks the word, and there he is. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, fully restored. And how do they handle it? They're afraid. When we can't explain something, when we don't understand something, we often become afraid. And Christ knows that. He knows that. And when we become afraid as human beings, quite often we have a tendency to push it away or stay away from it because we just don't understand it. And Christ knows that. And this message even speaks to that because he's not done. They were afraid. Those that had seen it, they told him how the demon-possessed man had been healed. They said, you know what? The demon and Jesus, they were speaking, and all of a sudden the demon asked this question, and Jesus said, go ahead. He gave permission. Even the demons listened to him. And then they took off running, and they went and they jumped into the lake. And it says, the people in the surrounding county, from the whole area, they asked him to leave. They were afraid. Then we need to ask him to leave. It says, because they were seized, they were actually frozen with fear. Jesus doesn't force himself upon anybody. is that he left. Probably some of the saddest words you'll find in the scripture where you see Jesus Christ enter into an area, do a great work. The people don't know what to think about it. They don't know what to do. So they say, get out. This is too much for us. There's no fire. There's no fire and brimstone coming down and raining down on Gadarenes. None of that. It's actually quite the opposite. The man from whom the demons was gone turns and begs Jesus. Now that he has restoration, now that he is now a productive person in society again, now that his life has been restored, he turns around and says, I want to follow you. I want to be with you. But Jesus says no. He says he sent him away. But he didn't send him away empty. He equipped him. He sent him away and he says, return to your home and testify. Proclaim what God has done for you. So Easter, what does it mean? It means that God loved me so much that he sent his only begotten Son to this earth. To show the love of God to thousands and thousands and thousands of people, even though we didn't understand him, though we were confused by it, and we sought to destroy him because it didn't fit within our mold of what we thought God would be, he willingly went to the cross. He went to the cross to pay for the penalty of my sins, because sin brings death. And no matter what, I am guilty. But Jesus sought to bring restoration between me and God the Father. And he went to the cross for the joy that was set before him, and I believe very strongly is you and I and all people that he went to that cross for. And he gave up the ghost. No one took his life from him. He laid it down willingly. He nailed my sin to the cross that it is no more mine, that I cannot claim it. And by that victory of Jesus Christ, he is resurrected by the power of the Father, and his tomb is empty. And no matter what, if I have cancer, if I have heart diseases, if I have mental issues, if I have anything going on in my life, when I look to Jesus Christ, I am victorious over all of those things because there will be healing. Portage is awesome. Portage Hospital does great work, great admiration and respect for that hospital. They've helped me many times in my life. They've helped my wife and they helped me. But there will be a day that Portage can't help me. But I will still have healing because of Jesus Christ and his finished work. This is a victorious day because he has given us life. And he has given it to us, as Scripture says, abundantly. Don't be paralyzed by fear. Live boldly in his victory. And no matter what, have the ability to pray, Father, thy will be done. What you want. Heaven is not a consolation prize. It is the victory. And we will all, by faith through grace, be there together. I think of that today because there's many of us that have said goodbye to loved ones in the last year. And to consider what our loved ones are seeing through the finished work of Jesus Christ. There is no more pain, no more suffering. That they, in reality, walk with new bodies of wholeness, new minds of freshness. This is a victorious day. We celebrate with them today in heaven. Happy Easter, for God is good. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to preach your word. Father, we thank you even on Easter that we can look at a message like this and we can see victory and restoration. Not only for ourselves and for our families and for our congregations, but yet, Father, for all who proclaim Jesus the Christ. Father, the price was paid. The debt is done. May we live in that victory. And as we have each and every day to live here upon this earth, allow us to live them to the fullest, bringing you honor and glory and living in joy and peace. May we continue to thirst for this word. May we continue to desire your word in our lives. And Father, may we share it with another. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift up his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.